Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Retro Rewatch, the show where Patrice Brendamore and I talk about the shows she has seen, that I should have seen, and I'm finally watching for the first time. Patrice, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Summer is here, so by the time you're hearing this, it will hopefully be fully summer, but it's coming. Yeah, it's a good day. We had a lovely talk before the episode.
Yeah.
And now I'm excited because I finally get to talk about the next season.
Yes, and I'm excited because, well, I want to talk about the next season, but also I want to watch season 5, episode 1, because, yeah, you know, we just finished season 4 of Stargate SG-1.
Yes.
And it was a nice cliffhanger, so I really want to see how they resolve this scenario that looks like you just can't recover from. But of course they will.
Of course they will. No, maybe the next seasons will be Stargate Voyager.
Stargate Voyager, yes.
They're lost in the Gamma Quadrant in this case, because Stargate Voyager.
Yep.
And now they're traveling back home, basically, for the next 125 years.
and they have to partner up with the Jaffa, because we don't have the Maquis.
Exactly. And the Apophis and the Jaffa get integrated into the crew of the, it's not Voyager, it's something else.
Right. Yeah. The Jack O'Neill 2.
The Jack O'Neill 2. No, the Traveler.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, I think we've just wrapped up the whole prediction for season 5 right there.
I would say so, yes. That's exactly what's going to happen. If you can guess, we're going into season 5 and we're going to do predictions, because that's the first thing we do when we start a new season. See what Jeff thinks, what's going to happen, and so that we can make fun of it later.
And that's fair.
Yes.
And
I should tell you one thing, because I think it's important for the predictions. So I did not tell you this before, because I didn't want to tell you before we start the new season.
Okay.
The next episode is part of a three-part season finale / cliffhanger / beginning.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I think that's why it's important, because usually we talk about the first episode and how it does the cliffhanger get resolved. But I think in this case, it's important that you know, and I'll tell you the titles of, no, I'll only tell you the title of one and then we'll do the other one, but you should probably know that this will continue.
Okay.
I think it's only fair a little bit that you know that at least that much. But I'm not going to tell you the title, so we'll keep that as a surprise once you've watched the first episode.
Okay. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. The first episode. You want to know what it is? The title.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's Enemies.
All right, that actually doesn't surprise me that much that's the title.
Yeah.
Because where we ended with season 4, SG-1 plus a handful of Tok'ra, or is I guess a handful of Tok'ra.
Yes.
They're on their
wasn't Jacob at least there? I think it's only Jacob there. Wasn't only Jacob. I think everybody else had evacuated, right? It was only Jacob, as far as I remember.
Definitely Jacob is there.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe it's just SG-1 plus Jacob.
As far as I remember, because it was, you know, it was the whole thing. They were like waiting for the sun to, and they were on the ship, and I did not see, because otherwise they could have sent another Tok'ra to fix the ship, and it was Carter and Jacob.
Yeah.
So
yep.
I think
okay.
it's only
yep.
those two. Don't know, but as far as I remember, it's on, at least as far as I remember from last episode, it's only those two.
So, yeah. Well, wait. So yeah. we have Jacob,
yeah,
and Sam,
yeah,
and Jack and Daniel.
Yes.
Right.
Correct.
So they're on the captured.
Yeah. On the Traveler.
Gould ship. Yes, on the Traveler, and then Teal'c, who Jack saw shot and presumably killed.
Yeah.
On Tatooine, you know, the previous hideout for the Tok'ra.
Yeah. Okay. Yes.
Teal'c's body, at least, is on Apophis's flagship.
Yeah. Correct.
And I predicted that Apophis would put Teal'c into sarcophagus and bring him back to life. So Teal'c won't be dead. Christopher Judge still has a job. That's my prediction. but then bullships got yeah. But then bullships got thrown way off course. So they're like in a different galaxy now. They were thrown off course when the star that Sam wanted to trigger to go supernova actually did. So that's where we ended up. And so enemies make sense because we have our SG-1 team, plus we have Apophis and his ship full of loyal Jaffa.
Yeah.
And they're in the same place because, of course, they got thrown to the same place.
Of course. Yes.
And, so here's my prediction. Instead of having to team up to find a way to get home, and I had predicted last season, I believe it was, there was a point where SG-1 was going to team up with Apophis.
Yeah.
To escape the prison.
Yes.
But no, that's not going to happen.
No.
They're going to, SG-1 is going to discover some resource or technology that they can use to be able to get back home, like in a reasonable time frame, like basically instantly as far as television goes. And so now it's a race to get the technology or the resource, whatever that is, the MacGuffin, to get home before Apophis gets it. And in the process, they will discover that Teal'c is alive, and they will want to mount a rescue mission to get Teal'c back at the same time. So since this season opener is a two-part episode, the recovery of Teal'c and our team getting control over whatever the thing is that allows him to get home, that happens in the second episode. Like at the end of the first episode, that will be the cliffhanger going into the second episode, and it will look like, uh-oh, our team has lost the ability to get the thing because Apophis now has it, and so, you know, then they have to recover that. Anyhow, that's how I think this is going to play out.
Interesting storyline. Yeah, I can totally see that from where we are, that this is going to happen. There will be a surprise. I'll tell you that.
Good.
There will be a surprise. We'll have to see if any of what you said is correct or even close to correct. Yeah, but yeah.
Okay. Well, the one thing that I think I can pretty much guarantee is correct is Teal'c will be alive.
Yeah.
And SG-1 will mount a rescue mission.
And I mean, the one thing you also predicted is like they will go back to our galaxy, right? Because that was what you said.
Yeah, they're going back to our galaxy. Yeah. They're not doing a Lost in Space or Voyager thing.
Yeah.
Where they?
Oh yeah, Lost in Space is the other one. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, because if they did that, basically, they'd be saying with season 5, we're rebooting this entire franchise.
Yeah. Well,
and I don't think that's going to happen.
They could have.
They could, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Okay. Good to know. What is that? Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. The reality will be even more fun. So I can guarantee your debt, because that's always how your predictions go. Right? Otherwise it would be boring if you could just predict everything.
I agree completely.
Yeah. Okay. So that basically at the end of episode 2, they're back in our home turf, on our home turf, and Teal'c is back with them, and what? Apophis was left behind? Okay, did he come with them? What do you think?
Apophis is presumably left behind.
Okay.
Apophis has that magical way of popping back up. So somehow Apophis will get back as well. Like maybe he stows away on SG-1's traveler, or he finds a way to get back.
Okay.
Apophis has been our recurring, reliable bad guy, and it's a good character.
Yeah.
So I don't think that he will be gone at the end of this episode, or end of this two-parter. They may think he is, but he won't be.
Okay. Interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah.
So that brings us to the end of episode 2, basically. So part 3, episode 2. What else do you think could happen? I mean, there will be one-off episodes that are hard to predict because they're one-off episodes.
Right. But I can give you my overarching ideas for what they're doing throughout the season.
Yeah.
Of course. And I think that the end of season 4 was the buildup of a lot of stuff that's happening with the Tok'ra.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a setup for the Tok'ra going to have a more aggressive approach to trying to defeat the Gould in season 5. And aggressive might not be the right word, but it would be more visible to us in the storylines. I guess that means the Tok'ra is going to be more active in resistance storylines.
The more stealth and slow and long-term approach that they've taken so far. Okay, interesting.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we have the setup. They're establishing a permanent base. Jacob has already told us that they have a plan, and I think we're. And we know part of the plan is get the system lords to fight, but we're going to see more of this plan actually in action in season 5.
Okay.
So we'll have that.
Interesting.
Okay. I have predicted this multiple seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And much like Charlie Brown trying to kick the football that Lucy's holding, I'm going to predict it again, because I feel like so many things have finally come together.
Yeah.
Just like I've said every season.
Yes.
But this time, really, really, we're going to see the rise of the Jaffa as a unified resistance against the Gould. Finally.
Okay. That, I mean, you've been predicting that since probably season two or three, I want to say.
Yeah, they're telegraphing that this is a path they're taking the Jaffa down without just outright. No, they have actually outright said, because Teal'c and Braytac have had discussions about it.
Yeah, the whole discussions and the speeches that Teal'c has given and so on. Yeah. Yeah, okay.
And, you know, and we also did get the this is actually a five-episode story arc, because the second to last episode, that's where they obtained started. The ship.
Yeah.
And Teal'c said, about all the Jaffa that were on the ship that they commandeered, he wanted to offer them freedom.
Yeah.
So we haven't heard anything about what happened with all of those people. I think that mm-hmm. will come into play in season 5.
Yeah.
So we'll have that as a storyline.
Mm-hmm.
There is a little bit of a pattern where we have Apophis as the primary Gould villain.
Yeah.
But then we have other system lords pop up mm-hmm. along and the way killed. And then disappear and get killed. So based on that, I predict we will see the rise of another system lord in this season. And so that will create another threat that SG-1 will have to address. And but Apophis will still be there being his wonderfully evil little self.
Okay, very interesting. So there will be a new Gore world that we have not seen so far. That's what you're saying, right?
Yes. Yeah, you know, and it's so easy for them to introduce a new Gould like that because Daniel can go into Wikipedia mode and tell us about the Egyptian deity that this one represents.
Yeah, or I mean, the other option is always. I mean, we know that from the Gould that I mean they're basically always scheming and always trying to one up each other and a lot of infighting and that trying to gain power and whatever, and maybe with Apophis getting like what happened to him last episode, and I mean you said he might get left behind at some point and or make it back, but like he will definitely have lost power, right? He lost a lot of ships and whatever. So there's a possibility, of course, that someone else steps in.
Yeah. Yes, we do have a power vacuum, presumably.
Yeah.
Because of the fallout of these episodes.
Yeah.
So, thank you for mm-hmm. adding more validity to my idea there.
Is it? I'm not saying this is what happens. I'm just saying this is the logic I would build on top of or around mm-hmm. what you've just said, right?
Yeah. So we have all of that. I think that based on some of the things that we saw in season 4,
mm-hmm.
we are going to have another storyline that pops up. It might be a one-off thing, but I think it'll be something that just kind of pops up throughout the season. Some more of the political intrigue.
Okay.
On Earth. So, you know, we have the whole thing where Senator Kinsey has announced that he is going to run for president.
Yeah.
And we have Mayborn out there as now a completely rogue element in all
and
of
I mean,
this.
We nobody believes that he will stay on his beach for long.
Right. It's I mean the character is so good.
Yeah.
And they're not going to waste it.
Yeah.
So, you know, so we have the whole Mayborn thing
mm-hmm.
that can play out in interesting ways. We have
the
political drama that goes along with Kinsey. And we also still have the Russians in the mix.
True.
So we could have the Russians show up again in some way. And I mean, it could be like we saw in season 4, where SG-1 has to show up and mop up something that the Russians did, or they have to do some sort of partnership.
Yeah, wasn't there something that they got a team or something? No, it was technology sharing, right? Something like that. There is definitely some partnership with the Russians going on after this. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that can come back into play.
Mm-hmm.
One element that we haven't seen a lot of, coming up into the end of the season four was the Asgard.
Yeah, true.
So
not a lot.
Yeah, so I feel like we have an Asgard story coming in season five as well. And
what could that be? I mean, Asgard story, okay, interesting, yes, but what do you think that could be? Based on what we've done so far.
Based on what we've done so far, we know that the Asgard are much more vulnerable now than they've been letting on.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, they had to turn to Carter, you know, because humans have stupid ideas.
Yes.
And I was going to say in a manner of speaking, but no, actually in a very real way, the yes. stupid humans
yeah.
of SG-1 have absolutely saved the Asgardians' asses.
Yeah.
And so it wouldn't surprise me if because of the overall instability mm-hmm. that's created by the Asgards being weakened, that they have to turn back to SG-1 for assistance again. I mean, it could be the replicators back again, but that might be like too predictable. So maybe it's some other threat.
I mean, but the replicators aren't gone, right? I mean, last time we left them, the war was very much still going on. They had, for now, saved the homeworld by destroying the O'Neill, right? But
oh, that's true.
The overall war is still going on.
Yeah.
Like, they haven't defeated all of them. They just fought back, like, one place or one planet, basically.
Yeah, that's true. And I'd forgotten that it wasn't like, we won. Yeah. All right. So then it could be the replicators are posing a new problem. I mean, mm-hmm. we know the replicators have the ability to learn and improve and evolve based on whatever the technology and resources they absorb.
Yeah.
So maybe the replicators have found some new an interesting diabolical way to be a threat, and the Asgards are like, well, do we have any more ships we can blow up at them? Not sure. We better go to Earth and get some help.
Okay. I'm actually not so sure about that one. Like, just hypothetically, because I'm like, the replicators do evolve, right? They absorb technology, but they don't create, like, they're not diabolical or they don't create technology. They just, if they encounter something, they will absorb it or they will adapt to it.
Yeah.
But they're not in itself a species that evolves. Like, for sake of evolution, they're just... Or for simply, okay, they're creative and they're going to try things and whatever. No, there's like, I mean, we saw that, right? The Asgard were throwing better and better and better technology at them, and they were just absorbing that and getting better and better and better with that technology that they had absorbed. So I'm not sure they would find a new and interesting technology or something to be a threat. I think if anything, the Asgard would do something new and different, and the replicators would counteract it / absorb it.
Yeah. Okay. I totally see that, and I think to a degree that fits in with the mm-hmm. idea that I'm having as the for the replicators being a threat. So maybe diabolical was the wrong word, but
interesting.
Yeah, they're going to find a new way to pose a serious threat.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I would go with you. Is that without any knowledge? I would go with you because the replicators are still out there, and the Asgard are still fighting them. So I think would be logical to quote the Vulcans. Would be logical for them to come back.
Yep. So yeah, I can see that being a thing. Yeah. I'm hoping that we get to see another story that really focuses on General Hammond.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's so much they can explore with that, because we've already seen the things about he has all these favors that people owe him, and there's the clandestine meetings, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. You know, there's a whole intrigue thing that they've built up around Hammond,
mm-hmm,
and that would be super cool to explore that some more. So I'm merely helpful, but I'm going to predict it anyhow because I want it to happen.
Okay, I'm thinking how I will write that down. But yeah, I got it. I got the idea. I'll read the transcript and see how I can phrase that.
Yeah.
But yeah, this gets
for the transcript.
Yeah.
It's a General Hammond storyline that involves intrigue, and in the same way that we've already seen in the previous Hammond storylines.
Okay, interesting. Speaking of characters, like there's a bunch of them. Like, how do you see them evolving? Like the SG-1 team, but also maybe some of the others that we've encountered.
Well, okay, so on base, we have General Hammond, so I think we'll get some more growth for him by exploring, you know, the kind of backstory espionage sort of thing for him.
Uh-huh.
And we have Doc Fraser, and so we've seen a small handful of episodes where she goes off world.
Yeah,
and.
I think twice so far, maybe. Total.
Maybe twice. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to predict she starts going off world more often.
Okay. Interesting.
And, you know, and I mean, it makes sense because it's a recurring character that has gotten more screen time as the series has progressed.
Yeah.
So,
and we know Hammond will not go off world, as we learned from Ray, because Donis Davis just liked being like, oh, I'm just going to sit on stage and do my work there. I don't have to go outside for outside shoots.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, let's send Doc Fraser instead.
Exactly. Could be. Yeah.
Yeah. And okay. One thing that I think would be like really cool to do, but I don't know if they will.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Give us an episode where the core of the cast, like the focus, is on the secondary characters. So it's like Doc Fraser.
Yeah.
And
do you think that will happen this season? Or is that more long term?
This is a long term thing.
Okay.
Not specifically this season.
Then I'll put it
long term.
Then I'll put it in the section.
So it'd be like Doc Fraser and Walter. So that's what Walter Harriman.
Yeah.
And Siler. And okay. You had told me that the scientist from the Firefly episode, Protégé, is going to come back. So he could be the fourth character in this story that focuses on a separate set of four and not the main set of four.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like a whole, it can be a regular SG-1 adventure, but it's from the perspective of these supporting characters. I think that would be a really fun thing to do.
That is actually a very fun idea. I hope they made that.
I hope so too.
If not,
I mean, I've come up with the idea, so clearly it's good.
If not, they should ask us for a script for a new Stargate series, and then we'll write it.
Yeah. And it'll be great.
It will be great.
And we're going to get rich off of it.
Yeah. Yeah, probably not. But yeah.
Probably not. you know,
we could build a rich career out of that. Maybe second.
We
career.
Could. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. How about the others? I mean, there's many more. I mean, there's the main cast, right?
Yeah, there's the main cast, and it's. I think we have a trajectory that's been laid out for characters as far as growth goes.
Okay.
Like for Jack, we have seen the more empathetic side.
Yeah.
Coming out when he came to terms with the loss of his child.
Yeah.
And, you know, we even had an episode, the really good one, you know, where they're the Groundhog Day episode where they're caught in the time. Oh, yeah. Where he tells the guy.
Yeah. Was it Window of Opportunity?
Window of Opportunity.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the way he convinces the guy to break the loop.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's a huge growth thing for Jack.
Yeah.
So we've got that. If we do get to see the rising of the Jaffa resistance, then this gives us an opportunity to have more growth for Teal'c and more for Christopher Judge to do on the show.
So for Jack, it's basically he just continues that emotional growth path he's on.
Yes, and for Teal'c, it's growth.
Finally,
as,
something to do.
Yeah, he finally gets something to do. Yeah. So, but then that also creates an interesting thing for Teal'c. We've seen a little bit of it, but it could become more of a thing where he has to figure out how to balance his duties, responsibilities, and loyalties to Stargate and the Jaffa.
Okay, so basically the responsibilities for the Stargate team will also be a little bit of a conflict for him personally, at least.
I think so. That could be a really interesting thing to explore.
Yeah. Yeah, that is interesting. What about the other two?
All right,
Daniel,
so for
Carter.
All right, so Sam.
Yeah.
We've seen this interesting evolution of her character as they learned how to actually write for the character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we have seen her have this. It's actually kind of a frustrating growth arc when I look back on it, because sometimes it's like, here's this really, these really interesting things about her and her relationships with the people around her. And other times it's like, we need a MacGuffin. And so Sam becomes the expert in whatever the thing is that we need to fix this week. And to me, that just sucks because it's such a great character. You know, don't use that character as a crutch to fix the problem of the week. Give us more of the growth of her as a person. And so we have the ongoing relationship with her father, which seems to be overall on really good terms.
Yeah.
But if the Tok'ra are going to be more prominent in their resistance, that could put Jacob in a situation where we get to see some conflict between her and her father.
I mean, we've seen some of that already, right? Some inklings for that. I don't think it was with Sam, but it was definitely with Jack. The second to last episode last season where Jacob was basically arguing for the Tok'ra getting the ship because the humans were not ready for it and all of that. So we've seen some of that already, and that could make sense.
Yeah, so that would be interesting to see. We have the dynamic of the emotional romantic tension between Jack and Sam. I think that we will see more of that, but not necessarily from the perspective of the tension between two of them, mm-hmm. Romantically, because that's going to stay an unrealized thing. Yeah. But what happens if Jack gets into a relationship with someone else?
Ooh.
Or so Sam gets into a relationship with someone else?
So one of them.
One of them could get into a more romantic relationship with another person, and how does that fit? I mean, we've already seen that when Jack, what was it, 100 days?
Yeah, 100 days.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, so what if, I think that would be interesting thing for them to explore.
That is super interesting. Yeah, that would be cool. To see because I mean, that's a pretty fundamental conflict. Like the tensions, the romantic tensions between them, that cannot be realized unless someone mm-hmm. leaves the military, which I think neither of them are willing to do. Also, this is Stargate SG-1, so kind of how would that work? Without one of them leaving, very poorly probably. And that would probably naturally at some point. Yeah, it would lead to that someone meets someone and something happens, and then you get conflict there or tensions there at least.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. Good. Anything else about Sam, like on the professional side?
Well, as far as the characters go, we're in a place right now where we can't really get any more promotions, because
you had predicted in the last season predictions that Jack would become general at some point in the future. So
I don't think that's this season.
Not this season. Okay.
So that means that Sam can't move up to colonel.
Well, she could, but then she's not part of SG-1, or Jack is not part of SG-1.
And that's not happening. Although, I mean, I guess at some point, if Jack becomes a general, unless they change, which they could just hand wave, now we have a general out in the field. He's a frontline general.
Yeah.
But, Sam, she's a major, Jack is a colonel.
Yeah,
and they're not going to promote her to the same level, and mm-hmm. That's not how it's going to work.
Okay.
Although at the point where Jack gets promoted to general, unless he's the front line in the field general, then it would be really interesting to promote Sam to colonel.
Yeah.
And now she's the leader of SG-1.
Colonel Carter. Yeah.
Colonel Carter.
Could be interesting. And I think it would also be an interesting story arc for Jack if he is forced to be a General Hammond like general, where he has to mm-hmm. stay back even if he doesn't want to.
Yeah. Yes, that would be a really interesting thing.
Yeah. But you said not happening this season. So we'll keep that for the future. It's still on the list. Yeah, so don't worry.
That's future stuff.
Okay.
So that brings us to Daniel.
Yes.
And less.
I read something about what you said one of the last seasons.
Okay.
Where was it? From the season 4 predictions, Daniel will not turn into Captain Kirk with Alien Girl of the Week. He will be more involved in the action, more highbrow stuff, solving puzzles and so on. I think that happened actually in this season.
Yeah.
So far, he's not turned into Alien Girl of the Week. Captain Kirk. So,
I hope he does not. I hope they don't take the character down that path, because that would just. I think it would be kind of lame, but
uh-huh.
I think that we have now established very solidly that when you want to have the X-Files supernatural episode.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a Daniel-focused episode.
Okay. So where do you think he's going from here? I mean, we've talked about this. Michael Shanks once more. And I mean, he's gotten more this season, right? He got this season four. He got some more. He got also to direct and so on. Do you think that's enough for him, or does he want more? And if so, where is that going to lead? Like, has he gotten what he wanted, or is he not happy yet? What do you think?
I think he actually wants more.
Okay.
I mean, he has, and of course, I haven't seen opening credits for season five yet, but yeah. Season four, it was Richard Dean Anderson and Michael Shanks.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the cast.
Yeah.
And so I think it will continue to be that.
Okay.
And he's not going to get top billing over Richard Dean Anderson.
No,
because when I say this is Richard Dean Anderson's show.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, he's a producer on the frickin' show.
He's an executive producer on the show and has been for a long time. So,
yeah.
But I mean, aside, where does that lead? Like, what happens with Michael Shanks and with Daniel? Like, there's many ways that could be resolved, but like, what do you think does happen?
I think that
we know he's not going to direct more because I told you that. So
right, yeah, he's not going to direct more. So yeah. What we're going to see are more of the stories are going to focus on Daniel's involvement in the resolution. So his character is going to take a more prominent role in more of the episodes.
Okay,
and that will include. In the season, I think we're going to see more Daniel episodes than we did in season four. I do like that we have gotten episodes along the way that focus on individual characters.
Yeah.
And I think generally speaking, there's been an okay balance with those episodes, except for Christopher Judge.
Exactly. Except for him. Like, yes.
I think this season we might see more of a prominence in Daniel focused episodes.
Okay.
So, you know, and
yeah,
it's a lot of those are going to be the supernatural ones because apparently that's where we go with Daniel focused episodes.
Okay. I think with that we have the main cast basically covered.
Mm-hmm.
So gonna be interesting. I think we got it. Like unless you have any more out there predictions, I think there's more than enough content for the entire season, like 22 episodes.
So I don't remember for season four, did I give a prediction for where the season was going to wrap up?
Did you? I think you might have. I think so. Yes, I think so. I think you did at least some idea where this was heading.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then I will do the same. So for this season, I think that we're going to see an overarching storyline about. Gould power struggle and the rise of the Jaffa.
Yeah, we had that already.
Right. And all of this comes together at the end of season five. And now I know that this is a season where at least for now, we don't have cliffhangers because you told me that.
Yes.
So when we get to the end of season five, that episode, so I'm guessing it'll be a two-parter at the end of the season that gives us a big climatic wrap up where we get to see a big conflict, you know, like a big battle between Gould, Jaffa, and it'll be the big team up.
Okay.
The Tauri, the Jaffa, the Tok'ra, all teaming up against the Gould. And of course, it'll be a victory for all of our heroes, but it will not mean the end of the Gauld. It just means they lost the battle, and they'll be back in season 6. I feel like season 4 especially is giving us a lot of tidbits that are setups for stories in season 5.
Yeah, you can definitely say that. I want to mention one thing that's special about this season. There is the 100th episode of, I think I mentioned that, there's the 100th episode of Stargate coming up in episode 12, I think. Yeah, episode 12. I'm not going to tell you what happens, but of course they always do something special for the 100th episode. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. What that
better
is.
Not be a clip episode.
But, okay. Hopefully it's not the clip episode, yeah. Yeah, it will be interesting. I'll tell you one thing about your predictions. They're very interesting, and the reality will be more interesting than what you've predicted.
Which is great.
Yes.
I feel like they've done a really good job of setting it up so that I can make predictions like this.
Yeah.
And based on what we've experienced through season 4, I feel like what you just said is, of course, totally going to play out, where the reality is better than the predictions that I came up with.
Yeah, which... that's how it should be, because otherwise it would be boring. If you could predict everything, then why are you watching it? Because you already know what's going to happen.
I agree. So. Yeah, it'd be boring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. All right. So that's that is a wrap for our predictions for season 5. So now we get to jump in and watch Enemies.
Yes. And we started off this episode with my predictions for that.
Mm-hmm.
And for the episode after that. Yeah. So I cannot wait to see how right I am, because obviously I nailed it completely.
Obviously you nailed it. Not at all, because that's the more likely
because that's
outcome.
That's how I roll.
Exactly. That's the more likely outcome. No, we'll have to see. Like, there's said, your predictions are, because I know what's coming. I also have all the episodes up in the background, so I can see, like, when you're saying something, I can look at the list of episodes and be like, okay. And I already, of course, already know what is most likely correct and where you were wrong, because that's me. I've seen the shows so many times.
Yeah.
But it will be an interesting ride. So let's do it.
I'm so on board for this. An observation I have before we decide it's time to close that iris.
Yeah.
We now have 4 seasons behind us.
Yeah.
And I feel like with season 4 and especially with season 5, it's now so much easier for me to come up with my predictions.
Yes,
because we have all of the lore that's already established.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you also have, like, we know that they're building on, like, this. You can see the patterns. We know that they're building sometimes on top of things that happened before. Right, there's episodes like what you mentioned with the Russians, built on what already happened with the Russians and with it was Watergate, I think, was the one, right? Yeah, and so on. So, like, it makes it a little bit easier, because, like, you're like, okay, like, we have this dangling topic here. Could be that this gets picked up now. Like, doesn't mean it will, but it could, right?
So
makes sense. Yeah, I can also tell you one thing. Our season 4 predictions, or our season 4 ratings, are, I think, lower than season 3.
Interesting.
Despite IMDb being basically the same, 7.8. I didn't add all the last couple episodes, but I think we're gonna be below 6. And season 3 was 6.2 for me and 6.1 from you. So,
okay, and what we're not even breaking 6.
Yeah, I don't think we'll break 6 at all. So, Yeah. So that won't tell you something. That would be an interesting question for you. Do you think season five, your ratings in season five will be higher or lower than season four?
You know, I'm going to predict higher.
Okay. I'll take it as it is, face value. Like, I mean, it's just an over under, right? So.
Yeah, I think season five will get a higher rating overall than season four.
Yeah.
And season four, I thought was a really good season overall.
Yeah.
It's interesting that in the end it's actually rated lower.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was.
So, but yes, I think five is going to get rated higher.
Yeah. Overall. And also remember, at this moment, we do not know if there will be a season six. I mean, we know it because it's 10
but
seasons.
But they didn't know.
They did not know yet. So season five was the last one that they know, so far at least, that they knew they had.
Interesting. Okay,
will come a time where we will know season six is coming, but for now, we don't know.
Yeah, so, but they knew there was season six before season five wrapped, correct?
I actually have to look that up when that exactly happened. I think so, yes, because production usually happens a little bit earlier. And there's only a couple months usually between seasons.
Yeah.
So I would assume so.
So what they probably did for the end of season five was, because they had to have this stuff like really rolling before they knew that they were renewed. So they probably wrote the end of season five so that it gives us enough of a wrap up that it doesn't feel like we're just left hanging completely, but leaves enough open so that if there's a season six, that they wouldn't have to be scrambling at the last minute, trying to rewrite scripts and reshoot scenes to leave it open for that next season.
Yeah. I mean, it's a possibility that I would have to look. I haven't looked it up. I just know that so far at least that has not been announced basically for them when they started working on season five and started choosing season five, as far as I know, they did not know that. But at some point, of course, they will learn it. That was, let me see, but I think there was not a big gap. Yeah, June 7th, 2002 is when season six started. So,
okay.
There was not even a month between end of season five and start of season six.
Okay, so they clearly knew.
At some point during the production,
early enough.
They should have known, yeah. And that also probably means they knew it before the season shipped. Yeah, so I just looked it up. So yeah, during the production of season five, they got some information. And around August of 2001, it was announced that there would be a season six. So August of 2001 means somewhere. Yeah, I mean, the August of 2001 was basically showing episodes 6, 7, 8, 9, basically. Like six and 10, right? The four episodes. So that means probably there had been probably towards the end or the later half of season one, I would expect. Of season five.
Okay.
But definitely before they were ready. Yeah.
All right.
The writers found, it says here, the writers found out about the renewal before the season five was written. Season five finale was written. So they had already...
No, okay, so then they were able to...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So there's a thing that I'm curious to see how this mm-hmm. plays into future episodes.
Yeah.
We have the Traveler ship.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that.
Yeah.
And we had the debacle with the test flight for the modified Death Glider, which also wasn't the best of episodes. So it was like a mm-hmm. double debacle.
Double debacle.
But the Death Glider, the modified Death Glider, is still a thing out there. So it would be interesting to see if they build on that in some way.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we'll see.
Yeah. Okay. That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
Good. I think we should wrap this up so we can go watch.
I think so.
Go watch the episode.
Yeah, there's an episode that's just begging.
Yes. You've been very patiently waiting for that.
I have. But, you know, I appreciate, it has been, but I do appreciate that you have found other things to keep me occupied in the meantime.
Yes. I hope you enjoyed them. Right.
I did. And I have no doubt I'll watch more episodes of Chuck.
Oh, good.
So, you know, that was cool.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
And getting to have a whole behind the scenes conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Last time, that was so cool too.
Yeah, that was very special.
Yeah, it was. So thank you for arranging that too.
Yeah. You know people, you know people.
That's right. Work the connections.
Exactly.
All right. So speaking of connections, Patrice, how can people connect with you?
Well, you can connect with me on my website, thepatrice.com. And I'm also with you on a brand new show, which is the Tech Hangout.
Yes.
We talk about tech stuff that happens and we have a lot of fun doing so. So that's thetechhangout.com if you want to watch it, live stream it, all of that. So do that.
Awesome. And... you know, thank you for being the motivation to get that up and running.
Sure.
So, yeah, that was super cool.
I'm always creating new things.
Yes. Well, that's how this show happened.
Yeah, I'm at this point so good at spinning up new shows, like it doesn't even take me that long. I'm like, oh, I need a new show. Here's the idea. Here's the concept. Here's the website. Here's everything submitted. Everything is set up. Done.
And then send out a message. Hey, Jeff, we're recording on this day and time. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Be there.
I'll be there.
Yes. Yes, exactly. That's how it works. How about you, Jeff?
On my two blogs, jeffgamet.com and freshbrewtales.com.
Both a lot of fun to read, I can tell you.
No, thank you.
I enjoyed that.
Thank you. And then on social media, jgamet pretty much everywhere. Active mostly on Mastodon, Pixelfed, and Blue Sky. And as always, I'll pick a couple shows. So I'll start with The Context Machine, the show that Brian Chaffin and I do.
We're contractually obligated to mention that.
We are, you know, because I don't want to make Brian cry.
Exactly. Yeah, that's why. The contract is mostly do not make Brian cry or cranky. So.
Right. It's mostly about the crying. It's the cranky part. It's like, oh, geez. Just
like,
stop.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm kidding, Brian. I love you.
No, we love you, Brian.
Yeah. And I'll pick another show. In Touch with iOS, Dave Ginsberg's show.
Also a cool show.
Yeah. Yep. And then as far as finding us for Retro Rewatch, first, there's our website, mm-hmm. retrorewatch.com.
Yep.
Then there's our email address, hello@retrorewatch.com. Then there's our Mastodon, which is retrorewatch@techhangout.social.
Correct.
And then there's our Blue Sky, which is @retrorewatch.com.
Yep, exactly.
You like how I really focus on the diction there so people get all the right words?
Get it right. Yes.
Got to get it right. Yeah. I don't want to disappoint you.
It's all linked on the website. Just go there. You will find it.
Yes, it is. So, with that, Patrice, I'm going to hit the button that closes the iris, and then we can head over to the couch and watch enemies and laugh and laugh about everything that I got wrong with my predictions.
Yes. That is almost a guarantee.
It is. And it's almost a guarantee that you will get text messages as I'm watching the episode.
Yep. Think so.
Yep. So, all right. Well, Patrice, this is so much fun. I am so glad we do the show together. You're an awesome friend, and I just love that we're doing this. So, with that, hey, everyone, thank you for being here with us. All of you, head over to your couch, watch the episode, and then we'll hop back here and we'll laugh about all of my wrong predictions for enemies. All right. Bye, everyone.